Everybody, welcome back. We're GFBS. We're Grand Forks Best Source, and we're talking hockey. Yeah, that's right. Grand Forks Central head hockey coach Grant Peronica on the show today. Going to talk about the big game tonight with Red River and all kinds of other things. Show today, by the way, brought to you by Oh for Heaven's Cakes. You know, there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. Well, that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. The best cupcakes and cakes for special occasions, or maybe just a little treat. You know, they make incredible specialty items by order, or just walk in to find out more. And while you're there, enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. And if you're a business owner, maybe you want to treat your employees to a little something special, well, check out their monthly employee discounts. Oh for Heaven's Cakes on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall, open Thursday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or go to ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. You know what? Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, if you have any questions for any of us or Coach Peronica, our phone number here at the studios of GFBS, 701-213-0863. That's 213-0863. And time now, before we get the show rolling, to our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Why are the Minnesota Wild like grizzly bears? Why are the Minnesota Wild like grizzly bears? Well, every fall, they go into hibernation. What'd you think of that one, Katie?
That was all right.
All right. Coach, what'd you think?
No.
Nope. You're harder on me than Paul, the producer, is. Grant Peronica, welcome to the show. First timer here in the studios. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Been a while since we've talked. I've been doing play-by-play hockey for so many years, and I miss the smell of the locker room. I miss the perp. I miss the Eagles. But before we get rolling here, Coach, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess, if you're testing my memory here, I seem to be living in the moment and moving ahead, but going back, I guess, I grew up in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, and played my youth hockey there and played for the local junior team, and then ended up kind of getting recruited to the University of North Dakota and, played here, and then played a little wee bit in the International Hockey League, and, upon that, I settled in, Bismarck. I lived in Bismarck for a while.
After I didn't know that.
Yeah, for 5 years I spent in Bismarck, and then moved back to Grand Forks and ended up getting back involved with hockey and again through the Park District and the youth and just kind of always loved the game, I guess, and felt a little bit like giving back and it was always fun to be, it kept you young too, mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So sticking around the kids and hanging around the kids has been, something I felt comfortable with and, always wanted to stay and be a part of and, maintain that love for the game.
So where you grew up in Saskatchewan, what was the population of the town you lived in?
It's about 12,000-15,000.
Oh, okay. So pretty decent-sized town. Yeah. Where exactly, what was the biggest city you were halfway close to? So I get an idea.
Well, we were close to Saskatoon, and that was like okay. Going to the big city.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
So, yeah, and North Balfour was a wonderful town to grow up in. I mean, we just had a fantastic time, a lively, vibrant downtown that kind of went through some of that urban sprawl. And, for a city that size and things moved out a little bit and malls were formed on the edge of town. But, it was just a terrific place to grow up. And, you got to know all the kids in your neighborhood and mm-hmm. did a lot of street hockey and down to the local rinks and all that sort of stuff. So
it was like hockey, like it is nowadays, year-round. around, but we made do back then.
Yeah.
We played on asphalt and gravel or grass or whatever.
Wherever you could.
You know, it was funny because Mike McNamara, an old friend of mine from back in the days, his kids were baseball players. Well, his dad was a, you know, big-time Major League Baseball coach. And he said to me one day, he goes, you know what? I'd rather watch strangers' kids whack tennis balls against a garage door with a hockey stick than watch my own kids play baseball.
Yeah.
Do you still have family up in Canada?
Yeah, I do. My mom and dad, and I have brothers that are up there. One's in Edmonton, and one's in Saskatoon, and you know, one's also in North Battleford, where my folks live. So we're very fortunate, you know, to have him there. And
mm-hmm.
and you know, my folks are getting up there a little bit in age, and it's good to have, you know, someone family around.
Sure.
And be a part of that.
Are you able to get up there to even visit, or I suppose not because of the border closings, or can you still get across?
No, I do, and I can, and I you know, with my with work and business, I travel up there, and I'm fortunate to be able to see my folks, you know, a couple times a year at least. You know, through business, I can spend the weekends with them. And
nice.
Yeah, it's been terrific.
How far of a drive is it from here?
It's about 12 hours.
Oh, wow. 12, yeah, so that's
hours.
A haul.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but
yeah. Yeah. Let's fast forward a little bit. UND played there from 85 to 89, I believe.
Yep.
National championship.
Yeah, 87.
Yeah, yeah. How cool was that?
That was very cool.
No question.
Yeah, it was one of the, you know.
And there was, I mean, you guys, I know I ran into a bunch of you guys. Was it last year when you had the reunion? Eddie was up.
2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Yeah, two, 3 years ago.
Wow. Ran into my local favorite watering hole, the Broken Drum. And a lot of the guys from that team were in there. And I tell you what, I had more fun just seeing some of these guys again. It was great. But do you ever wear your ring? I asked this to all the national champs. Do you ever wear your ring?
You know, I really haven't. I've pulled it out. I think maybe my wife pulled it out one time, and when we were going, I can't say that I have.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a box somewhere. But you know, I mean, as far as the guys go, it's about keeping in touch with them, and we still do that. We're, you know, part of a chat group, and you know, I get to see a lot of the friends that I played with that have settled in town, and you know, that to me is much more important than, you know, than the ring. I haven't been much for jewelry, so
yeah. And you know, the thing is too, you win a ring like that, it's like wearing a watch on your finger because they are pretty big and gaudy. A little bit.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they are now, that's for sure. Ours was a little smaller than that. But, yeah, you know, it's what it symbolizes, right? That's mm-hmm. really the cool thing about it. And
I was looking up some of your stats. I think it was your junior year. 41 points, something like that. That's not too shabby.
Thanks. I don't know. You know, there was a lot of goal scorers.
Yeah, you guys had some goal scorers. You know, but the year you won the national championship, I thought a lot of people thought it was going to be kind of a rebuilding year. And I think you went like 40-8 or something like that. I mean, you guys had an incredible year, won the championship. How big of a party was there after that?
It was a great party, and it lasted most of the spring, so that was a lot of fun. But what I was going to say is there were a lot of goal scorers, and I wasn't one of them. We had guys like Bob Joyce with, you know, 50-some goals. I think he had 52 goals.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was a different time, but still at the same time, you know, it's quite an achievement to be able to do that. And I think Tony had 116 points that year or something like that. It's just, it's fantastic. And just great guys to, you know, to keep in touch with.
You know, tell us about your draft. You got drafted, I believe it was LA Kings. You said there was kind of an interesting story behind that. I want to hear that.
Well, at that time, there was what was called a supplemental draft,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the idea was they were trying to get rid of free agents.
Okay.
Know, or I don't know if get rid of it's the right word, but, you know, they were trying to do without free agents because free agents were coming into the NHL, and, you know, they were unproven players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess having maybe even bidding wars for them and, you know, pulling down huge contracts. So I think they put in that supplemental draft. I could be wrong on this. So
I think you're right,
yeah.
I think.
So anyway, I think the first time, so there were some of us who got chosen in that supplemental draft, and I think the first time I can't even remember who I was drafted by. I think it was Toronto the first time. But I was actually ineligible for it because I was one of these old geezer seniors that came
in. Oh, right? Yeah, so okay.
I was ineligible for that draft. And I guess maybe apparently LA or whoever it was maybe didn't know about it. I don't know. It was kind of, you know, the first time that draft was taking place and stuff. And, you know, they drafted me the next time, right? So I guess I was ineligible for both times, so I was drafted, not drafted.
Yeah, you were like the 10th overall pick or something, I believe, in that supplemental draft.
Yeah, but there weren't many. You know, that's after a regular draft.
Okay.
It happened, so,
you
know, I mean, yeah, you know, it wasn't that big a deal.
Okay, well, and
it was nice, but yeah.
Fairly short professional career.
Yeah.
Did you just decide you didn't want to play anymore, or injuries, or what happened there?
Yeah, I guess a little of both. Yeah, people like to say they had a cup of coffee, and if that's a small entrance into the league, and a cup of coffee is being there a short time, well, if there was a little drip at the bottom, that's probably what I had, you know, where you could lick out the bowl or something.
Just try to wring out the cup a little bit.
Yeah, it was fun. I made friends, you know, and had a good time while I was there. But yeah.
You know, you look at some of the ex-UND hockey players, and I'm talking the Canadians here, and what they have meant to coaching around here. Tarek Howard, yes. Tarek, I always call him, but I know he's a good friend of yours, and I believe, did you name your son after him?
Well, I don't know.
Or you just really like the name.
Yeah, yeah, and we asked him, you know, if he would be offended by that or anything, and he was fine with it, so, you know, we went ahead and used that name. We were struggling in the hospital to, you know, to get a name for our firstborn there, and you know, we came up with some, but Scott Kobrinsky would always, every time we'd come up with one, we'd run it by him, and it was Noah, and he goes, well, do you know a Peronika? So, okay, that one's out. He'd make a joke about it every time, so we had to settle on Tarek, and it was okay with Tarek Howard, another ex-teammate, like you said, and that's what we named him.
Is Tarek still playing somewhere?
Yeah, he is. He's out in Boston playing at Curry College, Division III program out there. And it's in Milton, Mass.
Okay. Tough, I suppose, to get to be able to watch, or can you stream games or anything like that?
Well, they are on. They are online, so we get to watch there. And, you know, before our season starts, we do make a trip out, try and make a trip out.
It's beautiful out there, too.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's in a nice suburb of the city, and we've always had kind of, I think if you're a sports fan, Boston is really kind of a beacon for that.
Yeah, and even if you're a history buff, I mean, right. I was lucky enough to spend about 5 days in Boston a couple of years ago, and I absolutely fell in love with that place. Is he going to be able to make it home at all for Christmas or not?
Well, he is. I mean, they started their school 2 weeks early, and then, you know, in order to end at Thanksgiving. So, you know, at Thanksgiving, all the kids were sent home, I guess, or released until after Christmas time, so for the semester break. So, yeah, so he's home now, and, it's good to see him. It's good to have him around.
Yeah, I bet.
There's five in our family, you see, and there's three girls and two boys, and, you know, at least I'm getting close to
being even now. You're not an empty nester yet, though, are you?
No, we still have, of course, Tarek is our eldest, and he's out in, like you said, in Boston. And then we have a daughter that's just graduated last year from Red River, and she's at Arizona State University. She's also home now at Thanksgiving, and they were, I guess you could go home at that time. And then our youngest is Grace, and she's a sophomore in high school. So.
Okay, she also Red River?
Yeah, she is now.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
She takes a hard time in our house.
So yeah.
She transferred from Central to Red River.
Okay, yeah. And so. I bet you that would be a little different sitting at the supper table, huh?
Yeah.
You get a little grief today, maybe?
There's some good battles going on.
I bet. I bet. You have been with Grand Forks Central. Let's see. I think you started the 98-99 season. If the digging I did on you.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. When I was assistant coach. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
I think it was 98-99.
And I think Tarek was the head coach then.
Yes.
And I think it was Tony Bina on that staff too, maybe.
Yep.
Okay. My kid, by the way, still talks about you guys all the time. He had an absolutely wonderful experience playing with Grand Forks Central, and now you've been head coach for how long?
This is my eighth season.
Mm-hmm. Plan on doing this for a while?
Yeah, I'm a year-to-year guy, but, you know, I'm enjoying it and having fun with it. And we've got a great staff, and that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids have been terrific. Our staff has been together pretty much all 8 years. And, you know, when you have guys that you work with that you respect and enjoy being around, you know, that makes it all that much more enjoyable. And then, you know, like I said, when we've had terrific groups of kids year after year after year. So it's been a real enjoyable experience. And, yeah, I guess I have no plans at this point.
Mm-hmm. I was interviewing an ex-coach a few years back, and he made the comment. I said, well, are the kids ready, you know, to go tonight? And he says, you know what? He goes, here's the deal. He goes, these are young men, but they could be 17. Sometimes they come in and they act like they're 7. Sometimes they come in and they act like they're 27. This is that phase in life. I mean, you get these kids, some of these kids that are coming out of Bantams that are probably pretty small, taking on, you know, some of these upperclassmen. But how hard is that to juggle? Because there is those 3-4 years in your high school, that's a big step as far as growing and turning into the human being you are going to be. But do you ever find that where sometimes the kid in these kids is showing up at practice or a game, and sometimes it's the man? Is that hard to get through, or is it not?
I don't know that it's hard to get through, but yeah, for sure you see that. I think, you know, around that age, right, during that high school is you know, puberty time too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you got some young men, and then you got some you know, still boys.
Right? Yeah.
So that's a big difference. And, you know, you see guys that are out there that are 6'6", and then you got someone 5'2", right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That maybe it is a bit of a challenge in some ways, but you know, they've all got a common ground, and, you know, they're all trying to, I guess, you know, be part of the team and be hockey players. And, you know, when you find that commonality, I think, you know, there's something that, you know, connects them together.
And, you know, the thing is about being on a team, it's not just about playing the sport itself. Right. It's about growing, you know, into an adult. I mean, team sports, we're both sports fanatics. It's just not all about the sport. It's about the camaraderie, and it's about the locker room, and it's about the coaches. And I had coaches in my life growing up that I have more respect for those people than probably anybody, because I got to spend a lot of time with them. And the coach, and I know you do this, you're not just there to bark hockey stuff at these guys. I mean, you guys are also there as I hate to say it, but sometimes kind of like a counselor in life.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's certainly a bigger part of it, right? And one isn't exclusive of the other. I think, you know, trying your best to become a better person, and, you know, to learn and understand, you know, team concepts, those sorts of things, you know, to be a contributing member of society, and again, to be a good person. I think that's much more important, and that doesn't exclude you from, you know, being a good hockey player. Mm-hmm. I think those two go hand in hand. So, you know, as much as we do talk about, you know, the game and you know, how we want to approach it and everything, you know, a lot of that is approach to life as well. And I think that's, like I say, that's much more important aspect of it. And, you know, you look up and down your bench and, you know, maybe one guy is going to get there and the rest are going to be pro in something else too, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, they can have an enjoyable experience and, you know, learn a lot about life just through sport itself. So I think that's kind of been our focus and you know, our approach to it. And I don't know. I guess we don't know any other way.
Yeah. Very well put, though. Yeah. Just there's more to sports than just the sport itself. We're going to talk about some of your best and worst moments as a player and a coach coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And then we're going to start talking about the new season kicking off today. So I'll give you a second to think about that. But I tell you what, if you've been putting off that remodel or something new around your house for a long time, tell you what, get a hold of Executive Properties. Let them get it done for you. They do all types of commercial and residential work, everything from kitchens and bathrooms to cabinets, trim and tile and concrete. I mean, they do it all. They're going to take the time to listen to what you want done, and then they're going to do it the way you want it done, and they're going to do it the right way. Over 30 years of experience, got a guy called Barry Romo. Barry, He knows his stuff, and their crew is incredible. They'll take care of you. They have senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget. And you know what? It's coming, but Executive Properties does snow removal too. So for all your general contractor needs, call them up, Executive Properties, 701-330-1273, or check out their website. It's executiveproperties.org. And also check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. You're going to love their work. Executive Properties, they're your one-stop company that can do it all for you. Back with Grand Forks Central head hockey coach Grant Paranica. Coach, your best moment ever as a player. Do you have one?
As a player, well, I think, you know, I'd have to certainly say winning that national championship was among them. You know, just the team we had and the players that were on that team and how well they kind of got along together and were close-knit group. You know, and winning it with them, you know, knowing all the work that everyone had put in through the year, that would have to be there, ranked up there. And then, you know, maybe just making a pro camp, you know, being at a pro camp and making a pro team, you know, that was quite an experience because, you know, as a kid, that's something you dreamed about.
Yeah,
you know,
every day.
Growing up every day, right? You go to night, go to bed at night saying your prayers about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to arrive there at some point, I think just walking in the locker room and seeing your jersey hung up with your name on it, you know, was really quite a emotional or a moving experience. That was probably one of the best ones. And yeah, again, the national championship with the college team. At college, you know, everybody's still, how would you say, you know, professional. You're a pro and you go to work and then some people go home to their families. But, you know, in college, nobody's at that stage yet. So everybody's really, you know, a bunch of kids.
Yeah, back in college, kids, who were you roommates with?
I was with Scott Kobrinsky and Ian Kidd. Scott Brower was one of our roommates. Scott Dube.
Uh-huh.
I'm probably forgetting some.
That had to have been a great time, though, in your life.
It was a terrific time. I mean, I think anybody who went through college, you know, or a lot of people anyway, can, especially college athletics, can relate that as some of the, you know, better years of their lives. I sure do anyway.
So. Mm-hmm. Now let's move ahead to coaching. You know, I'm so lucky because over the last 20-plus years, I've got to cover Grand Forks Central, Grand Forks Red River, and East Grand Forks. I mean, I got the best of the best here. I got the best of North Dakota. We got Section 8 in Minnesota. Totally, and just love doing it. Your favorite moment as a coach?
As a coach, you know, there's been a lot, you know, with the, I guess, with, you know, winning championships. Mm-hmm. I guess that's always fun. But, you know, there's some, I think, that are more important. Like when we had a kid come in and, you know, understand what happened during the game and he came in, you know, and had one mindset. And then came into the office after the game. Oh, I know exactly what you mean now. I did it. I didn't do that. And it wasn't something technical on the ice. It was just, you know, man, I'm not even sure how to describe it. But he came in and he got it, and the light bulb went on.
Yep.
It's like, no, I was way off on that. Now I know what we're talking about, you know. And it had to do with the bigger picture of life, right?
Right.
So you know, that moment particularly sticks out, you know. And he tracked me down in the rink after, you know, after the incident that happened on the ice. He tracked me down in the rink the next day, and you know, hey, coach, can I talk to you for a minute? And we went in the room and discussed that. And to me, you know, that, like I say, that's a moment that really stuck out. And it was a proud moment because, you know, the fact that he really matured in that, you know, understanding that. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, just like you say, some of those championships with those kids, seeing the kids, you know, that put in all that effort and work and, you know, and it come to fruition is really, you know, quite enjoyable.
And you know, that, to me, what you just said makes that's got all the fixings for a great coach. I ask you your best moment in coaching, and you say it's about getting through to a kid, not about the championships and stuff like that. But coaches do care about their players and their kids.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't, certainly don't. I don't know. I kind of have go back and forth about that. You know, I don't want to get too close to them at the same time. But, you know, you see them all as like, I coach my son too, right? And you kind of see them all in that sense too, right? Yeah. You want the best for them. And, you know, sometimes it takes tough love and being hard on them too, right?
Yeah. It's part of growing up. I mean,
for sure.
You got to take the goods and the bads.
Yeah.
All USA Boys Hockey Coach of the Year 2018, not to mention North Dakota Coach of the Year. But how cool was that to be known by your peers nationally like that?
Well, yeah, I guess that was kind of fun. But, you know, at the same time, we had Caleb Johnson be on that All-American team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, you know, to me, that was really, really special, too, that we got, you know, national recognition for one of our kids
mm-hmm.
you know, playing. And that's, you know, when you think of nowadays how many places they're playing hockey, they're playing in Texas, they're playing
yep.
in California, Florida, all, you know, which weren't, you know, in the past traditional
sure.
hockey beds. And, you know, so there's a lot of kids playing is what I'm saying. And for him to get recognized like that, that's been fantastic.
No, you think about all the players that you have coached throughout the years that have gone on to D1, gone on to play professional hockey. That's got to be a pretty good feeling in the old gut too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you certainly like to see them come back and appreciate it. You know, we have a lot of kids that come back and, you know, skate at Christmas time. And, you know, I think they care about the program and they care about, you know, what they went through and, you know, what they learned. Hopefully what they learned, you know, with their time with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's really, I guess, nice to see them, you know, achieve what they were setting out to do, right? Like, as a high school, because that's a big lopping off process.
Right? Oh, sure.
From high school, you know, to junior hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so I think sometimes it might even be harder than college because there's, in a sense, there's only 20 some tier one junior teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then there's 28 North American Hockey League teams. So, you know, to go, I mean, there's lots of NA3 Hockey League teams, but to go that process and to make it there, you know, from all the kids that are playing high school, I think that's quite an achievement.
So. Yeah, even, you know, to get into the USHL is right. pretty big. And I would imagine knowing some of the kids that have played for you over the years, I'm sure they whenever they're in town, I would imagine they stop at the rink or come and say hi.
Well, we sure like them too, and yeah, they do. Like they text and they say, "Hey, coach, I'm you know we're done at such and such a time in December. You know, is there any chance we can skate?" And for sure. So you know, we can almost kind of have a reunion, and it's been a lot of fun. And I think those kids, you know, they share their experience, and just to be around, you know, the current players is really inspiring to them too. So. Yeah, it's all.
I mean, kind of like having a couple extra coaches on the ice with you, and yeah, absolutely. You know, these kids you're coaching now, they're gonna whatever these guys say, they're gonna soak it in like a sponge because I mean they've gone through it, they know what it takes, and all of that stuff. All right, now let's get to what's going on now. Preseason rankings: Central ranked number one, Red River ranked number two. You guys get down to it tonight. What a great way to start the year. Taking on Red River. Key losses from last year. Any bodies that you're really going to be missing?
Body is William.
Well,
Austin
William body. Austin body, yeah.
So that's a body that you know we'd really be missing up front. I mean, you know, been a tremendous player for us for the past 3 years, right? And yeah, and he, you know, he was fun to watch and a kid you could really get behind and cheer for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he put in his time and worked hard, and you know, he moved on to play. So he was a big part of our team the last year. You know, we also lost Will Howard, who's mm-hmm. you know, in a different way, you know, a great player for us, and you know, just a hard nosed kid that you know played that rugged game that we like to see, you know, in our program. You know, Tyler Zarodka, we lost as well, too, as a kid who came back from Sioux Falls and played high school with us for his senior year. And, you know, we lost those guys up front. One on the back end. Oh, God. You test my memory all the time, right? Like I say, I'm always going forward. I have a short memory. I should have been a goaltender.
I blame that on the 80s myself. And you know, the names that you're mentioning, Coach, I remember because Grand Forks Central has always got such a deep junior varsity. And you have told me this before in the locker room that these guys know they have to skate every single day in practice because basically Central's JV team could match up with most varsity teams in the state of North Dakota, in my opinion, at least in years past. But the William Lawson bodies, the Zaradkas, the guys like that, I can remember vividly their first time coming up to varsity. And William Lawson bodies a great example. Boy, he was rough around the edges. He had a kind of an awkward skating style. But, man, did that kid really came into his own his junior and senior year.
He sure did. I mean, if you look at our state championship that the year, the second one, that would have been his junior year. Yeah, he was really instrumental in No, that wasn't the second one. But his junior year, he was really instrumental in that, in that championship game. And, you know, moments like that, I think are good for kids to develop confidence build their game and continue to become a better player. You know, when you come through moments like that, when, you know, it's really crucial and the pressure's on and they rise to the occasion. And, you know, he was one who did that. So
any underclassmen that are maybe going to show up this year and people are going to go, wow, where's this kid been? Any new names to look for, Coach?
Well, I think, you know, I've seen tremendous strides in Dominic Gruszewski, from last year to this year. Connor Litzinger, those two kids up front have been, looking really good here in the early going. They kind of get it now. I mean, just coming in last year, I think it's been different for them, from coming from youth and bantam hockey. And
it's a big step.
Yeah, it's a big step. I think we asked them to leave their egos at the door, and they play some JV hockey, and they understand they have to focus on their game more, and then it kind of starts to pay out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now you're seeing that with Connor and the way they've been playing and the approach to the game that they've taken has been terrific. On defensive side, of the puck, we've got pretty much our entire D-Corps back.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's guys fighting for positions there, so we're really happy with the competition that's going on.
I want to talk about some texts we're getting from Bailey. Hi, Grant. I hope we will win. I love Central Knights, and last year I did a speech for the team. I want us to beat Red River Go Knights. Awesome. Brian Staus, great UAD hockey player, fun to watch. Let's see. Oh, Brian Lemoyne, only player I played with to make it there. I tried, but had to go to Beer League. let's see anybody else here. Jerry, Tarek married my cousin. Watching and hanging out with the 87 team was some of the fondest memories of childhood. Well, that's pretty cool.
It's great.
Another one of your old teammates at UND, Mike Lemoyne, been on the show. Was interim coach last year. Did they peak at the right time?
They did.
How did that state tournament go? Your thoughts when it was all said and done?
Well, if I look at that final game, I felt the semifinal game, mm-hmm, against Red River. I just felt like, we didn't play to win. We kind of played not to lose. And Red River had the confidence going for them. They were playing very well. And, they played gritty. They played hard. They did all the things they needed to do to win. I think they knew themselves really well, and maybe you can credit Mike for that, leading them in that direction. If you look at their roster and the points they had, I think their leading scorer had maybe 20 some points, right?
Yeah, they didn't.
They never put up great numbers, but, they played well together as a team. And like I said, I think they believed in themselves and they knew where they had to get to. And I think I heard Mike mention one time, if we get to three goals, we can win a game. And I think, mm-hmm, if they had that mentality, let's get ourselves to three, right? And they all bought in. So, kudos to them, right? Like they did what they needed to do. And they, like you say, they peaked at the right time. They never flinched, right? And they believed in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, and then Mike just rides off into the sunset with a state championship. Yeah. How cool is it, though, because you have seen this a few times now in your coaching career. I mean, back when Kober was coaching Eastside, and, of course, Mike Lemoyne last year. But old friends getting back together again before a game, what were the chats like before you took on a Scott Gobrinsky team or a Mike Lemoyne team?
Well, I don't know. We didn't, we're kind of busy doing our thing, so we didn't talk too much. But, there's always a laugh and a joke in, mm-hmm, there too, right? But, I know people have put kind of some emphasis on that. But really, to me, the emphasis have been on the players and the kids and the teams, right? We just have we seem to have fun together, right? If we do get together, we seem to have a good time. And we all share that common bond of playing on that 87 team. So, like I say, we don't, before the game, we don't really have a whole lot of interaction too much. I haven't, when we do, it's always amicable and it's like old friends getting together.
Yeah. Politically correct kind of stuff. can you use, like last year, I don't know what you're going to say to the kids tonight before game one of the year, but, last year you were favored to win hands down. And we just talked about Red River. Again, your favorite this year. Can you use that as kind of a motivational little pep talk before the game tonight, saying, hey, look, just because everybody thinks we're the best, look what happened last year?
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't like being in that position, you know. And the truth is, we don't, like, I hope the kids don't, but, you know, as a coaching staff, we don't pay much attention to it, right? Where, you know, the process is the process, and you go through it daily, and you know, sorry to you, but, you know, what happens in the media and what gets put out there amongst the Coaches Association is, you know, a fluff, I guess, in my opinion. Sorry, I don't mean to be
rude
about that, but, you know, I think we're more focused than maybe too much, but we're more focused on, you know, on our process and what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish daily and what we're trying to accomplish throughout the season. And that's, you know, where it's been.
I'm actually getting texts on my own phone now wondering if there's any way they could sneak into the game tonight. And I'm afraid that's not going to happen unless you're a parent. Growing up in Canada, Grant, were you a music fan?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, I'm going to throw out some names here. And you tell me if you know who they are or not, because back in the 80s, I graduated from high school in 83. I think you were 82 or right around there. We're about the same age. Yep. But we used to actually have to, a friend of mine owned a music store in Thief River Falls. That's where I'm from. And we used to have some of this music basically smuggled across the border because we couldn't get it in the United States. But I want to throw out a couple of names here and see if you listen to them or if you know who they are. But of course, the Tragically Hip, you know who they are.
For sure. Yeah.
How about, have you ever heard of Rabbit? Spelled with a W?
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
No, I can't say I was.
Okay. How about Harlequin?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
They played at our high school dance.
Did they really?
Yeah, before they got big.
Wow. Wow. So then you know April Wine.
April Wine, yeah.
Okay. Now here's one of my favorites that a lot of people don't know about. Maybe you do. You ever heard of the Queen City Kids? They did a song called Dance and Girls. And anyway, you're going to have to look them up. Queen City Kids. Those guys really rocked back in the days in Canada. I got lucky enough to go see them up in Winnipeg one time. You know, at the end of the year, you know, it all depends on how the season goes. But what do you say to your upperclassmen, you know, after spending a majority, you know, a good chunk of their life with them? What do you say to them when it's all said and done?
Thanks for being a part of our program and, you know, and helping to build it to what it is. And, you know, I mean, we talk about, you know, the history of Central Hockey, right, as one of the more prominent teams in the state for sure. And, you know, maybe sometimes in the country, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so there's a responsibility that comes with that, both with our coaches and our players. And, you know, we ask them to uphold that, right? Like to be a part of that. And what, you know, what sort of kind of fingerprint do you want to leave on the program and, you know, how you want to be a part of it. So, you know, most of them, I'd say all of them kind of buy into that. And we thank them for doing that. Like, our whole, I guess part of our whole philosophy is, you know, the older guys teach the younger guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot you can learn from that. And, you know, when they leave, you know, thanks for doing that and all the work and the dedication and, you know, the extra that they have put in. Not only, I don't mean only on the ice, I mean about being a good mentor to the younger guys.
Sure. But,
you know, we put a lot of emphasis on that, on our seniors and that, you know, being mentors and teachers to our younger players that come in.
I want to chime in for a second. My senior year of high school when I was, at the time I was captain and, you know, I remember my coach telling me, you know, you're an upperclassman and for these little freshmen, the underclassmen coming in, you just want to, you know, be a role model for them.
Yeah. So. I agree, yeah, and we look at it, that approach, and I'm sure, you know, maybe there's a lot of other teams that do as well, but yeah, you've got a kind of a responsibility to, and that's part of taking responsibility for your actions and, you know, being accountable to each other. I think that's two big things that we really try and push. Well, those are our two basically values, core values, is being accountable to each other, being responsible for your actions. And we do make mistakes, coaches included, no question. And, you know,
you're only human.
Yeah, we try and deal with them. And, you know, when we haven't been, we don't want to kick ourselves, but, you know, we acknowledge that we didn't do it right. And we just kind of regroup and move forward.
Has the whole COVID thing been an issue in the locker room? I know you probably have to tweak the way you do things, but has it been a big issue?
I've struggled it probably with it more than the kids have, mm-hmm. I think. You know, I mean, they're very adaptable. And,
sure.
And they just kind of go with, you know, whatever we need to do, right? They want to keep playing. And, you know, I wrestle with the idea of, you know, how do you split them apart? And, you know, how do you keep it, you know, keep them safe and that sort of thing? Probably more so than, you know, than the kids do. I mean, when they're that age, they're kind of invincible.
Yeah.
And they feel that way. And you know, I think it's more of a challenge with the coaching staff than it certainly is with the kids.
Now, do they have to go through a testing protocol or anything? Because we saw it all fall where it's like football teams, volleyball teams, all of a sudden they get, you know, COVID, somebody might have it. Well, then they're around how many people and all of a sudden they don't have enough players. Is that been an issue or are you worried about that at all?
Not to this point, but it does concern me. You know, we're trying to do the best we can to prevent that. You know, once it happens, we just report it to our athletic director, Mark, and, you know, and then they take it from there. Mm-hmm. They deal with it, you know, which is good and fortunate for us that, you know, that onus is taken off of the coaching staff.
Sure.
And you know, it's dealt with at a higher level. So, but, yeah, it's, you know, it is, I think it is a challenge, but, you know, at the same time, like everybody has to do it, right? So each team is going through the same issues that we are. And you know, you just do the best you can, I think, is all you can ask. I mean, they still don't know some things about it, right?
So, sure.
So everybody's kind of navigating this whole, new world, you know.
do you have to keep reminding the kids at the end of every practice what to do now when you leave the rink, or they pretty much know? Because if they're hockey players, they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that they can keep playing. Right. So I'm sure they're following, you know, the protocols and what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they are the best they can. And, you know, if there isn't, you know, we have to remind them, or we just remind them. But, you know, that kind of started at the beginning when we first got to practice. And you know, they kind of know now, okay, masks are on. And, you know, that's, they get into the room and they put them on right away. And that's, you know, they arrive with them. And as some of these rules and things change, you know, we get out the information, we adapt. How are we going to approach it now, you know? And like I said, everybody's kind of trying to navigate it, so we just do it day by day.
So the players don't have to wear masks when they're playing, do they?
No, they don't have to. No.
What about coaches?
Yes, coaches and backup goalie.
Okay, because so, here's the funny thing. Whenever you see a coach maybe having a little disagreement with a referee, always the good part about it was you could usually read a coach's lips. And now we can't do that anymore. So
now we're going to be muzzled. So maybe that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah. Now, with the COVID going on, I do have a question here. Somebody texted in, are they allowing students into tonight's game? Who can all go watch Red River and Central tonight?
Two family members per player or coach.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's and that goes for the home team and the visiting team, and that's it. You know, you're allowed two wristbands per player, mm-hmm. two wristbands per coach, and it's only to go to family members.
Okay.
And they have to come in through the front, the main doors of Purple Arena, and still have to buy a ticket. But, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that may change and it may not. And when we get direction and word on it, then, you know, we adjust accordingly.
Well, I hope it changes because I am going to be sneaking in here no matter what it takes.
Same here.
Yeah. I got one last question for you, Coach, because I know you've got a busy day today. When this is all said and done, you step off and, like I mentioned about Mike, right into the sunset. How do you want to be remembered as a coach?
Well, I guess that's good. I haven't thought about too much, but, you know, I just want to be, remembered, you know, by my players as a good person who, you know, tried to do the best he can for them and, you know, tried to help them realize, you know, I guess their potential in themselves.
Mm-hmm. I got to give a shout out to Tim Gregoire, Timmy. Yeah. He's the one that actually gave me your phone number because I didn't get to take my phone contacts with me, when I was at the old job, but, I'm sure you were wondering when I called you, like, how the heck did you get my phone number? Because I never did actually have it. I always had to call somebody else and figure out how to get a hold of you. But thanks to Timmy Gregoire, part of your staff, been with you for a long time. He actually played with my son. And great to see that he's still involved with Central Hockey, too.
For sure, yeah. Like, you know, some of the other coaches around the state know that, because I've had them mention me, but you got a diamond in the rough there. Someone concealed. You know, and we know it as a staff, right? Like, he's just tremendous, tremendous guy, and you know, works very well with the kids, and, you know, has great ideas, you know, comes up with drills, just a lot of things that he does that, you know, don't get noticed.
You know,
the head coach gets all the recognition, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know we've got Moreland and Timmy, you know, that, like you say, maybe aren't in the spotlight, but, you know, really do a tremendous amount of work. And like you said, so fortunate to have had him for 8 years. Like, it's a tough position to find someone that can get away at that time. Like, Coach Moreland, like, he goes into work early so he can get done, and that's daily. And he's got a family himself too. So, you know, to dedicate that time and give that time, you know, like I said, I'm very fortunate, because, you know, if you have to find new guys every year, that's tough. And we've been, for 8 years, we've had the same crew. And this year, you know, Matt Klockman's got a little family, or a family going now, and they're expecting again. And, you know, we may lose him, but, you know, we've had him for that long. And, you know, we're, like I said earlier, we're a group that, you know, we felt really worked well together, and we like each other's company. And, you know, we, sometimes during the Christmas break or something, we go out socially too, even though there's a tremendous age difference in some of us. And we respect each other. And
you know, that's got to tell you something about being a hockey player and then go on into the coaching. You don't get rich coaching high school hockey. And for these guys to go into work early so they can leave early to go coach their teams, that just tells you something about all their character right there.
Right, exactly, yeah. And Matt's, you know, a tremendous role model for some of the kids. I mean, he's a guy who's played some pro hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, that, and not only that, he's got a family, and, you know, he's a good person that, you know, is kind of, we're all on the same page with that. You know, that's what we try and make it about.
I want you back on the show later on this year when we get towards tournament time. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck tonight against Red River. It's going to be a heck of a tilt, I'm afraid, and I'm not going to get to go see it, but I'm going to try to find a way to be able to watch it somewhere, because I live in the country and I got DirecTV, so I don't get squat. I get 3,000 channels of stuff I don't want to watch. And, of course, I can't watch UND hockey or Central and Red River, but going to be a great game tonight, and we wish you the best of luck, and thanks for coming on, Coach.
Thanks so much for having me.
There you go. That is head coach Grant Paranica. Grand Forks Central Knights, as they open up the season tonight against Grand Forks Red River. Wow, that's going to be a good one. And you might want to work on finding the Queen City Kids, too, so we can you can find out more about them. Special thanks going out to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, the place to go for an instant oil change. Basically, no wait time. You can even sit in your car while they change your oil. I just did this a couple of weeks ago. It took them about 15 minutes. They do all kinds of stuff while you're sitting in there, too. They're going to check your fluids, your cabin air filter, head taillights, batteries. They'll check your tires, your wiper blades. They also do tranny and coolant flushes, and you don't need an appointment. I drove up and I got right in. It's timely service, will not slow you down. And mention GFBS, they'll give you an additional $7 savings on your oil change. What a deal. And if you can't leave work and you're in Grand Forks, heck, they'll even come and pick your vehicle up. Locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week and fast, Valvoline Instant Oil Change, 3325 South 38th Street, or call 701-780-8462, but make sure you tell them GFBS sent you. Wow, tomorrow we are talking more high school hockey. East Grand Forks head coach Tyler Palmasino stops by the studio to talk to us about their upcoming season. Hey, make sure that you check us out on Amazon Music. Yeah, you just tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast. And while you're there, we want your 5-star reviews on Google, too. And if you didn't know this, we are on Pandora now. How about that? Hey, everybody, have yourself a great day. Make sure you like, share, and tag us. We are Grand Forks' best source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.